Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It is Monday. It is the fifth day of March 2018. I almost said 17. And we're going to talk a little bit more about dates today, but I trust you had a great weekend. We certainly did. We had a very, very active and wonderful weekend in the Lord. And we're waking up on this Monday morning excited about being on the Omega Radio Network. We are broadcasting around the world, and we have some of the greatest men and women of God that are voicing the word of the Lord to the ends of the earth through this platform known as the Omega Radio Network. And we are declaring and we are decreeing and we are believing that this week there are going to be great victories in many of God's people's life. And we believe that the Spirit of the Lord revealed a secret to us in our service yesterday, that there is victory within our shout. And you remember in the army of Gideon, his 300, when they shouted, the victory was there. And you could go throughout Scripture and find out when they were praising God, the Lord would set ambushments in 2 Chronicles 20. And there's all kinds of different mysteries of success for God's people. And we just heard so clearly yesterday that this week, that the people that would give a shout to the Lord would find absolute victory in areas of their life that the enemy has been holding them back in, or where they've been held captive in, and where they've been battling in. And so I want to decree with you this morning that there is a victory for you this week, but you got to give a shout. And sometimes the only thing to shout is hallelujah. And that's what we did yesterday. I'm surprised we still have our voices. It was not just clangy noises and you know, sounding cymbals. I'm telling you, there was something within the shout of God's people this weekend. And already in the last, you know, several hours since yesterday's service, the Spirit of God has been revealing generational bloodline curses that have been in some people's lives. And there is an awareness that's coming and a revelation to some of the bondages and the plans and works of the enemy, his strategies to hold God's people back. And yet the Lord is unloosing, he is releasing, he is just setting a people free, because the Lord is going to have overcomers in this earth. And you know, you're not an overcomer because you were born as one. No, we become the overcomers, just like Jesus became everything that he was on this earth. And you too, it says in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, that he gave us power to become the sons of God. Yes, we are becoming by the footstool of adversity. Remember, that all of adversity in your life and mine is a footstool to destiny. And so we step on the adversity and we are elevated in the spirit and we have the victory. So I don't know if you've got one left in you this morning, but I want to encourage you. If you want to see victory this week in your life, I want you wherever you are, as long as nobody's around, you don't scare the cat or anything or the kids, just give a shout to God and say, hallelujah. And we could do that together. We have been doing that, and we are declaring great victory. Now, I want to begin this morning's broadcast with a few dates. I want you to put these dates on your calendar. This week, Thursday, that we may very well be traveling to Nashville, Tennessee for the Understanding the Times conference that was held last year in Tyler, Texas, where a number of thousands of people went. And some of the great speakers and singers and musicians. I met Marty Goetz and his family personally last year. What a beautiful, beautiful ministry Marty Goetz has with his singing and his daughters and his wife. And they just or his daughter, I should say, singular. Just a beautiful family. And then Tom Doyle and his wife, they are outstanding spokesmen for the kingdom of God. They have ministry in the Middle East. And then, of course, Jake McCandless, who has been a guest here and has a program on the Omega Radio Network every day, Monday through Friday. Jake McCandless is right here on the Omega Radio Network. And then, of course, our dear friend Daniel Seckham, who calls in often, normally on Wednesdays. He'll be traveling to the United States and going to Nashville, Tennessee. And so this Friday, the conference begins in Nashville, and it appears that we may be going there. And we'll see about setting things up if we could actually do some recordings from there and bless the Omega Radio listeners everywhere around the world. So we've got some great things going on this week, but I want you to put this date, particularly March 17th, on your calendar. All right, so just put that in your conscience if you don't have a pen or paper. If you do, you have a calendar, just mark it down. March 17th, when the sun sets. Okay, when the sun sets on March 17th, that will be the very first day of the Hebrew month Nisan. Okay, Nisan, however you want to pronounce it, tomato, tomato. But Nisan, also known in the Babylonian calendars as Abib, but it is Nisan 1. Now, why is Nisan 1 special? Because that is the first day of the first month in the calendar of God. And you find that in Exodus chapter 12, that God said that the new day would begin, or the new year would begin, on the first day of the month of Nisan. And so March 17th is that day. And here's the interesting thing. Not according to the rabbinical calendar, as we have said before, but according to the Bible, the Torah particularly, that this will begin a new year in the agricultural economy of Israel. Some people say that last September 30th was the new year in the civil calendar, but there's no such thing recorded in Torah. So the reality is that the first day of the first month of the new year is March 17th, which brings us to the year 5778. So we are 12 days away from the new year 5778. Now, why is that unique? We're going to be coming out of a really amazing year that we have been involved all along this year, which was the year 5777. And there was a tremendous amount of conversation about 5777. But in the Hebrew, the meaning of that number, 5777, when you put it all together, meant gray, lead, and pulverized. And there's no doubt we saw a lot of lead in the church in Texas. Come on, the Baptist church, 26 people shot and killed. We saw a lot of lead in Las Vegas, Nevada. We saw a lot of lead in Parkland, Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to stop right there for a moment, but it also meant gray and to pulverize. And we remember that they were very dark, gray, ash-filled skies in California with the largest fires ever existing. And we also know that the pulverizing six hurricanes from Maria to Harvey and the rest of them, that Puerto Rico to this day is still not restored. And we just had another massive nor'easterly that put millions of people out of power. So I'm just here to say that 5778, lived up to much of what we had expected. The only thing that we did not really see that we thought may have been connected to that word was war, actual all-out war. Now, there are 12 days left in the year 5777, but there's no doubt we saw a lot of lead. We saw the gray skies of ash, and we saw the gray skies of storms that brought the pulverizing reality to Florida, Houston, the islands of the sea, and et cetera, et cetera. And it hasn't stopped. It just has not stopped. Billions and billions of dollars of damage just this last weekend over in the nor'easterly that was hitting with that storm called Riley. And there's more on the way. So we're 12 days left. Who knows if we're going to go to actual war or not. But here's the interesting thing, that the on March 17th, which is 12 days away, we are going to be in the year 5778. And so we looked at the number 5778 in the Hebrew again, and the meaning of that number, when you boil it all together, get to the root, literally speaks of Psalm 91, get under the wing, get into your covering. And so, you know, how far and wide will this go? Well, as we just noted, that the year 5777 certainly saw the definition of that number. And so in 5778, it appears that God is saying to his people, get into the secret place of the Most High, come under the wing of the Almighty, come under his shadow, get into that chamber, Isaiah 26:20, shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. And then, you know, we also had so much more to share about these numbers, but it's a very interesting moment. And I want you to know another date. All right. So March 17th, very profound. We're leaving 5777. We're entering into 5778. And so there's a transition getting ready to take place. But I also want you to put on your calendar, if you would, March 30th. March 30th. Now, at the evening, when the sun sets on March 30th, we begin the first feast of the Lord in his new year, which is the Feast of Passover. Okay, this is so profound. This is so rich. There's such an unction and an anointing. You know, when you talk about coming out of the house of bondage and you talk about the great Exodus, the first Passover, when the blood was shed and put upon the doorpost of every home of the Hebrews. And so we're talking about a celebration of Passover. We know in the new covenant, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. His blood was shed. We need to have his blood on our lives as a protection. There's that Psalm 91 again. There's that 5778 again, that the first Passover was all about the blood protecting the people from death. And so, again, we have a connection. March 30th, when the sun sets, Passover will begin, and that'll be somewhat of a two-day event, which leads into the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a seven-day feast. And so there are three connections in Passover. Number one, the actual Passover, where you celebrate the Seder meal. This is a dinner commemorating that first Passover when every Hebrew had a meal in their homes the night before they went out of the house of bondage in Egypt. Now, then they would celebrate. Then God called for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was 7 days. There was no leaven in the house. This is what we call in modern days as spring cleaning. And so it is really a time to get things cleaned up. Your season is past. The spring is coming. April showers, May flowers. There's newness of life. Life is springing forth. And it was in that season that the children of Israel sprang forth out of the house of death and bondage into the liberty of what God was bringing them into. So this is a very awesome and exciting moment of time for God's people if we will cooperate with the meaning of the feast, not under an Old Testament covenant of obligation and ritual, but if we will understand the spiritual value of the feast of the Lord, how they are actually at work within each believer. Can't tell me that Passover doesn't have meaning to your life. It's all about the blood that was shed to clear your conscience from sin and to wash away your sin and our sin. And so Passover has terrific meaning. I'm not ready to go into it right now But I just want to inform you again that on March 30th, when the sun sets, that'll be Passover meal. And then for 7 days, they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this is where they came out of all their business and their work, and they offered offerings to the Lord. And this was a very important feast because it was the very first fruits. And that was the next part of this this Feast of Passover. So you have Passover, unleavened bread. And then on the third day of the feast, even though the unleavened bread is 7 days, but on the third day was known as the Feast of First Fruits. And Jesus Christ is our first fruits of the resurrection, who rose on the third day. And so I'm going to get into detail about this as the days go by, but I wanted you to just get the date on your calendar, March 30th, and make sure wherever you are that you give that day to the Lord, that it would be ideal for you to be able to celebrate the Feast of Passover, the 7 days of unleavened bread, and on the third day, the first fruits. And there's, as I said, a lot to talk about in how God would have us celebrate this great feast of the Lord. But it begins March 30th. If you can get those days off and spend some time with God during his feast, there is no religious obligation. Again, I want to make that clear. We're not under religious obligation, nor are we motivated by ritual. We're talking about the intrinsic value of the blood of Jesus Christ, how we are to be unleavened. And you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and you'll see that, and which means just get the leaven of malice and hypocrisy and sin out of our own hearts. It is a spring cleaning time. And then to remember, we are the children of the resurrection, the first fruits. We'll talk all about it. So that is the way I wanted to begin today. Those two very special dates, March 17th. And, of course, March 30th begins Passover. So the new year is in 12 days on the 17th. Passover is on the 14th day of the first month of Nisan, which is the 30th of March. And we're going to be celebrating it. In fact, I'll be meeting with pastors today about our celebration of the Feast of Passover and how we're going to celebrate it, where we're going to celebrate it. And we just want the Lord to direct our path. We want him to show us exactly where we need to be. We're going to invite the body of Christ, and this is an opportunity for Christians to transcend their denominational differences and to come out of their doctrinal creeds and to just rally around the cross of Jesus Christ. The one thing we all have in common is that we're all sinners saved by grace, and by just coming to Jesus on the cross, if for Passover, we just have opportunity to have a feast together. And that was in the intent of God's heart, that three times a year, the children of Israel, even though they had different tribes, there were 12 tribes, they all had different personalities and functions, but three times a year, they gathered together as one nation. And so that was for Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And so this is an opportunity for Christian men and women to come together to honor the Lord, not ourselves, to honor the Lord, because ultimately there's only one church, and it's made up of many members from all cultures, languages, tongues, and the head of that church is Jesus Christ. So that is how we're going to begin today, March 30th, and that is going to be the 14th day of the number of the year 5778. That is good news, and I hope that blessed somebody out there today. So what I would like to do right now is I want to get into a conversation concerning embracing the word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to forewarn you that what you're about to hear in the beginning is going to sound a little rough. It's going to sound a little tough, but I believe that like a diamond in the rough, you're going to see the intrinsic value of what is being said here, and that it's not just a mean-spirited thing, that this was a prophetic word, and I believe that within the context of this word, the Father's heart is revealed. And I believe there are scriptures to back that up. So batten down the hatches, buckle up, and let's go and begin this message. And it was titled, Embrace the Word of the Lord. My word shall never pass away, says the Holy One of Israel. All else shall perish. So when I read that, I think of the Father's heart where, you know, it says in his word, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away, right? So I see consistency here, but I see the Lord so determined, all else shall perish. In other words, everything that is not connected to God's word or everything that is not manifested or existing at the time of this judgment, it will perish. Only what God has spoken into existence will remain. And I know that God has not spoken into existence the evils and the corruptions that are in the world today or even in the church today. So anything that is not representative of his word, his thought, his heart is going to perish. But only the things that exist from his word will remain. So just keep that in mind. Continuing on. All things shall come under the fire of my judgment, says the Lord. Yes, all things. My fire has broken out in my church, and a glorious bride is about to appear. For she has made herself ready, says the Lord, and the passion in my eyes is becoming brighter and brighter. Yes, even fire is ablaze within the pupil of my eyes. Now, this again is confirmed in the book of Revelation, where he has fire in his eyes. And that fire represents his passion. It represents his holiness. And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has a bride. The word of God says he has a bride, a wife who has made herself ready. And I believe that his love and his passion is growing. For 2,000 years, he's been waiting for his bride to come to manifestation. And in this prophetic word, it's as though the Lord is saying, my passions are being stirred as I see my bride coming forth, okay? In other words, she's made herself ready. She's gone through the cleansing. She's gone through the washing. And then the time for the execution of the judgment is come. I will judge and make war with religious Babylon first. So here I see the Lord is speaking of his passion, his desire for his true bride. But now he's talking about judging and making war with religious Babylon, the whore, the harlot, if you will, of Revelation 17. And he said this, I will set her altars on fire, and all her sacrifices will I spew out my wrath and indignation upon. I will destroy her walls with fire, and the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the house that was called by my name shall become a den of demonic spirits. The people within the walls shall die, and their rottenness shall be seen from afar. Worms shall consume the eyes and flesh of those who have died within the harlot. Beware, for her worm shall never die. Now, before I go any further, I told you this is going to get a little raw. It's going to get a little rough. But listen for the Father's heart, because I'm hearing Jesus in the book of Revelation say, you know, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Okay? He says stuff like that. I'm going to blot your name out of the book of life. So don't get, you know, don't let the tendencies of this age's mediocrity, you know, grip your heart and think that this is too hard to hear, that that wouldn't be. It is. This is his heart, okay? And he says, I will lift girts of her prophets and expose their nakedness and shame. I will turn their tables of merchandise into powder. I will look upon the hypocrites, and they shall be consumed with the fire of my jealousy. I will throw down the musicians who have lulled the people into sleep. I will destroy their instruments of music, for they have stirred the soul and emotion of the people, but have not ministered to their spirits. Yes, the house of harlots is empty and devoid of spiritual truth. Their pews are filled with dead men's bones. Outwardly they appear alive, but within they are dead. No. They would not have it any other way, for they have killed the prophets with their lips and have set at naught the truth of my word. They have dulled the voice of those who have sold their birthright of eternal life for the momentary pleasures of this world. All these things that they have amassed unto themselves shall be eaten by the canker, and the thief shall break through and steal. Surely, you will know that I have brought my judgment to light, O great mother of harlots. Yes, daughters of Babylon, you shall know that you have worshipped false gods and images. Your terror shall come in a moment as I reveal the truth of your ways. Okay, so before going on, a little commentary. Again, I just believe that there is a true church and there is a false church. There is a bride and there is a harlot. And those that are in the harlot system have become the wool for the masters. And the masters have fleeced the flock of God for their own gain, not just receiving the benefit and blessing as God set it up with tithes and offerings to take care of the needs of the church. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about telling people what they want to hear so that they're at ease in Zion and are easily willing to give up some things because they feel good. And yet, it was Esau that sold his birthright that lost his inheritance, and yet these preachers today would tell people like that that everything's okay. Well, it's not okay. And I think you get the drift on the rest of that. So let's move on to the next section of this prophecy and whether or not you'll embrace the word of the Lord. I heard in the first section that God is going to judge the harlot church, that there are going to be exposures. And I think it's been happening for a very long time, But let's move on beyond the harlot church system. Then I will judge and make war with the world system of Babylon. I will send earthquakes and fire and storms upon the land and will break up and throw down the high places. I will contend with the armies of the earth as I send forth my armies to destroy and consume. The pride of men and kings shall be no more, and the power of the arm of flesh will not be able to withstand my presence. Now, let me be clear about this. In this writing, I believe the army of the Lord is realized in the book of Joel, and I believe it's realized in the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel, when it was the Assyrian army or the Babylonian army or Joel's army. And I believe that the army of God that is consistent is of the bloodline of Ishmael, which is in the Islamic world today, whether it be the Assyrians that came and destroyed the temple and the people of Israel in the days of Isaiah, or whether it was the Babylonian king from Iraq, if you will, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who destroyed the temple and carried the people away into captivity. God uses, and we think his army is the saints of God that's bringing this. No, that God's army consistent in the word of God are sometimes the very adversaries and enemies of God, but God will use them to judge his own people when things are not working the way that they need to work, okay? And so I see that very clearly. I see that this is a day where God's going to continue on and say, I will repay double for what has been dealt out against my beloved. Yes, fire is in my eyes and a sword in my mouth, and with it I shall smite the nations, and all the beasts of the field will feed upon the flesh of those who hate me. I have heard the ungodly words and speeches of the mockers and those who have set at naught all my counsel. And I say to you that I will mock you in the hour of your calamity. I will destroy the roads you have built. I will destroy your commerce. I will destroy your marketplaces. I will rend you of all authority and power as I loose the spirit of death upon the decision makers of your day who have practiced witchcraft. Now, wait, go back to Egypt, that first Passover. God released the spirit of death, and that was against the whole nation of Egypt, right? So we have consistency again. We know that God has lifted the skirts of the prophets that were false. We know that he's contended. These are not just the words of men. This is all biblical. He said, your soothsayers will profit you no more, and your guides and voices shall lead you astray, for I have sent a lying spirit into the voice of your prophets, O Babylon, and they shall cause you to fail. Now, we know in Scripture that God sent a lying spirit into the prophets to deceive the king, and God is saying again in these last days that he has much opportunity, and again has the power, the authority, and right to send a lying spirit so people will make the wrong decisions, like going to war with North Korea or going to war, doing this or doing that, gun control, whatever it is. There are lying spirits everywhere at the disposal of God to bring forth his judgment. We need to see God in everything. He says, I will destroy the entertainment industry and bring it to nothing. I've been saying for weeks now since Parkland, Florida, that Washington, D.C. is the swamp, while Hollywood is the abyss. And what needs to happen is judgment needs to come upon that entertainment industry that is blaspheming Almighty God, promoting what is evil, saturating our society in the grossest of sins. And God says right here in that word, I'm going to destroy the entertainment industry and bring it to nothing. You will only see the mourning and suffering of a destroyed and defiled people. When shall these things be? They are near. I will rip the cover off the hidden places in the earth from whence evil has had its grip. I will discover the secret places of men and devils, and they shall pale at my presence. Your land, O earth, shall reel to and fro like a drunken man. You shall be tossed to and fro with a mighty tempest, for the winds of destruction and death are loosed upon you. An invasion of death is coming upon the land. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the second section of this prophecy. There's one more that I want to get into. It's almost done. But these words were written, I believe, by the Holy Spirit through a vessel. I happen to be that vessel. I have on my desk right now over 1,000 pages. Over 1,000 pages sitting right here on my left side of prophetic words that I've been writing since 2002 and all the way through most of them to 2007, 2008. This word goes all the way back, and yet I am reading something that I've heard myself preaching in the last several months. Let's move forward. This is what the Lord says. This was very interesting. The time of the great tribulation is near, and many things shall come to pass as the nations of the earth are swallowed up and consumed by gross darkness. Yet a glorious day shall appear for those who are prepared and ready. Listen, my church shall go through this time of distress and great tribulation, yet she shall go through with divine authority and divine favor. My grace shall be upon my elect as they walk through the midst of the fire, for they shall not be burned, says the Lord, the Holy One, who is able to do great things on the behalf of those who love him. Your prophets have lied to you when they said to my people that they would escape the great tribulation. They have said that the people will be lifted off the earth and taken out of the planet. This is not the truth, beloved, for first my coming shall be unto the ends of the earth. Then the resurrection shall come to pass. But know that before my descent to the earth, there will be the time of tribulation like never before and will never be again. So I say to you, my beloved, be ready, for you are going through. Those who are prepared shall survive the day and will do exploits in my name. Yes, my glorious church will walk through the land and will be protected with supernatural protection. The number 5778 comes to mind. Yes, many martyrs will fill the earth and their rewards will be great. The Gentiles have trodden down the outer courts and they are about to be swept clean by the streams of fire that are coming to the earth. As my glorious church goes through this time, she shall bring revival everywhere she is. Yes, in the midst of great tribulation shall be waters of revival, renewal, and restoration for those who come to me through the witness of my church. Yes, the witness of my church shall be greater than ever before. Miracles, signs, and wonders shall be to those who have come to me with their whole heart. False miracles, signs, and wonders shall be to those who have forsaken me and have turned from my commandments. These are they whose hearts have waxed cold, have lost their love. These shall betray those who belong to me and will suffer the consequences as Judas did. Yet in the midst of this fiery furnace shall come forth a remnant. And in the final paragraph to this word, I have written these things in order to raise your spirits, that they may arise and take hold of my words. For my words shall never pass away. Those who embrace them by faith shall experience all that I have said, and truly you will know what the third day church is all about. There will be those who will be stimulated by my words, but only for a moment. They will not embrace my words because they have no faith. Therefore, they shall have no power in this, the great tribulation. But my people will have power, and they will overcome all things as they endure the times. Be ready, beloved, The door of tribulation is opening, and all will go through it. What awaits on the other side for you? And so, again, that word closes up with what it said in the beginning. My words shall never pass away. All else shall perish. See, God just spoke words into your spirit, into your mind, if you'll embrace them. And he said, if you're a real one, if you're a true one, he's got a plan to bring you through. And it's so interesting that that word is connected to this year of 5778 about protection, about being under the covering. And so if you or I are lukewarm, God says he'll vomit us out of his mouth. He said if we're compromised, he said if we're apostate, he said if we're backslidden and we are found in that condition, remember what it says in Revelation? Him who is holy, let him be holy still. Him who is just, let him be just still. Him who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. So there comes a moment that whatever condition that you and I are found in is the condition that we're going to be judged in. And if we are found in a condition where we're moving forward in the affections and the love of God in our hearts, the love of Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're found to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are not lukewarm. We're not compromised. We are on fire. We're moving forward, leaps and bounds into the glory realm of Jesus Christ, that we are going to experience exploits. We are going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. We are going to go through and not be burned, for it only will expose any dross within us, but the gold will appear. So as I said earlier, this was not an easy word, but it's a true word. It's a true word. And what I would like to do is we're at 9:36 right now. As always, open the lines. If anybody has any comments about what you've heard and maybe you would like to share a little bit on it, the number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. How does this jumpstart your engine today? How does this fuel your fire? Where is your heart today? Are you in the spirit? Are you in the flesh? Is your mind the mind of Christ, or is it the carnal mind? Where are you today? Well, no, regardless, I'm hoping that this word is provocative enough to the point to get us to walk in the reality of what the gospel is all about. But I want to know what you heard. The number is 818-369-0326. Make sure to press 1 on your dial pad, wherever you're calling in from, and I'll bring you into the broadcast today. Once again, 818-369-0326. And I wonder, did you sit back and listen to what was said? Maybe it's a bit controversial. Maybe you disagree with some things. Let's talk about it. That's what this broadcast is all about. We are one broadcast out of many on the Omega Radio Network, and we will be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with some of the finest speakers. Up next will be Patricia Joy. She'll be speaking out of Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. But what have you heard here this morning? And I'm going to just to give a little selah, a little pause. I have another word before me, but I hesitate to read again because I don't want to overwhelm anybody, but I'm waiting for your call. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. When I read this first word, embrace the word of the Lord, what I would love to have done, and yet, you know, when you're writing prophetically, it's very difficult to do, take pauses and timeouts, but I would like to find how many verses of scripture were actually connected to this word. I would like to have a magnificent Bible study or somebody, you know, take the time to get into that word and say, okay, here was this verse, here was this verse, here was this verse, because I believe these prophetic words are filled with the word of God, and every prophecy has to have its origin in scripture. And if we're speaking prophetically, quote unquote, but there's no scriptural reference, then we need to be very careful. And so it is the word and the spirit. These two are interconnected. They are inseparable, the word and the spirit. So when one comes under the influence of a spiritual unction and begins to speak or write through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there must be foundation in the word of God. And I find a tremendous amount of foundation in the word that we just read. But I am still waiting for your call here this morning. 818-369-0326, pressing 1 on the dial pad. Have I dumbfounded you today? Have I mesmerized you today? Is there, it's awfully quiet out there today. Awfully quiet But I do believe that we have some conversation here to talk about, and you are invited to join me on the air. You are invited to join me on the air and to speak your thoughts, your heart. And because it's so quiet, I guess what I need to do is just kind of move forward and maybe bring forth a little bit more. But I don't feel like I want to do that. I don't feel like I want to do that. Let me just talk a little bit about some of the things we're going to be doing here in Northwest Arkansas. We believe that Northwest Arkansas is a refuge. We believe that there are tens of thousands of men and women that have moved into this Northwest region of Arkansas, led by the Holy Spirit, independent of one another. And when they come here, they find themselves connecting with others that have the same testimony they do, that God led them here, their families here, their ministries here, and people are still pouring in. We've been here for 8 years, and you can't imagine the growth that has happened in Northwest Arkansas, and I believe God has a plan for this region. So while we're here and gathering together, we have brought into the region the revelation of the Feast of the Lord, and we will be celebrating on the 30th of March, and we will be having a Seder dinner. And we will be celebrating Passover, and we will do it in an intrinsic way, a spiritual way. We will seek the benefit of what it means to have this at work within us. And what I'm referring to, for example, is the Passover feast, obviously, is all about the shedding of blood, okay? And again, Jesus Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins are forgiven. We are justified by his blood and by faith in his blood, according to Romans chapter 5. And so while we are a new covenant people, we can still celebrate Passover, remembering that we have been enjoined to a blood covenant to our Father. The blood of Jesus is the ratification of the new covenant that we have been enjoined in. You and I, whether Jew or Gentile, have been brought to the Father through the work of the Son, through the shedding of his blood. That blood has cleansed us from all iniquity and sin. It's done. You and I have to work that out into a reality. By faith, we must apply the blood of Jesus in every area of our conscience and soul to make what God has already said is done a reality in our lives. But, you know, according to God's perfect plan, you and I are completely forgiven, completely washed. I could find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that you are washed, you are cleansed, you are justified in the name of the Lord. I mean, it's there. It is done. It is a finished work. The only thing lacking is our apprehending what is already accomplished. And it's kind of like a star in the heaven that's been shining for 10,000 years, but you and I only see it. And we look up and say, oh, look at that star. Well, it existed before we ever saw it with our eyes. That's what science tells us. And so this reality of our forgiveness, our justification, our being washed and completely cleansed by the blood of the Lamb already exists, but it doesn't have much value until we actually experience it, until it becomes a reality in our lives. And I want you to prepare your heart for the coming feast of Passover, the shedding of the blood, because there are going to come the judgments upon the Egyptian Empire, so to speak. And you and I have to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And I believe that the intrinsic plan of God, that he has gathered together his people for Passover all over the world. And so this is a very, very important time that we are living in today. And it's a very intrinsic time. But what I want to do right now, we have our first caller calling in today, and it is apropos that Pastor Ken Wagner is calling in from the Northwest region of Arkansas. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today, sir?
Yes. Oh, sir, I am blessed. Praise the Lord. You got a good word going on here, and you know, I hope people are truly embracing it. It's, you know, I wrote down the last thing I wrote down when you were talking about it. Don't just listen to God's word, but rather embrace it. You know, and that is something we have a tendency as a nation, and Christians even more so, to hold back and say, well, yeah, I'll get to it. I'll do it later. And that is a real problem. People never come forth, and when the times get really tough, they say, oh, I can't get into that. I don't know how to handle it. Well, if we had prepared ahead of time, we would be. Now, so procrastination is a real problem that we're facing. And, you know, when you talk about the feast, this thought came to me this morning as well on here. God gives us the feasts to continually remind us of what we are supposed to be doing. He told us what happened, but then we need to continue to act upon it and remind us that, yeah, we need to be doing something and not just sitting back on our laurels, so to speak, on here. And if you want a good example of that, look at 9/11 in this country. People turned out in droves, honoring the police, honoring the fire departments, bringing food, doing all kinds of things that way. And people coming together, going to church, praising the Lord, and everything of that nature going on. It lasted about 3 months. And then people started going back to the old ways again. You know, it's something that we have to embrace, as you said, something that has to be built into our spirits and become a living reality, and we do it every day, not just once in a while, not just procrastinate and let things go on by as God speaks to us. There's so many things that we could be doing for the Lord, but we don't do because we sit back and say, yeah, I'll get to that later. So that has to change, and your words are bringing that very thought into the forefront.
Well, praise God for that, Pastor Ken. That's a good word. You know, what I hear in your conversation is beware of stagnation, right? I mean, beware of stagnation. And the church, I believe it is the Holy Spirit's vital principle to continue to activate the living waters within the believer's life, so that we are always moving with the river. And stagnation breeds frogs and mosquitoes and all the, you know, the yucky things of a swamp. But the river is continually flowing, and those living waters in the life of a believer must continually be activated and flowing. So what an opportunity coming out of the winter season that springtime is now here. It's a season in the Lord. It is an opportune moment to come out of the darkness, coldness, and death of winter into the resurrection, light, and life of this season of Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the beginning of a year in the Lord that is just valuably bubbling up into life. And so, yes, beware of stagnation. Beware of just being in the same place and not moving on in the Lord. These words are designed to activate that vital principle in the life of every individual so that we could be moving towards the ultimate purpose of God. I mean, the river is flowing to the throne. I know there's a river flowing out of the throne, but the river of God in us is flowing upward to the throne. We're going home, hallelujah, and making ourselves ready for the Lamb.
You know, Pastor, that's right on. And when you said the word stagnation, the first thought that came to my mind was rottenness. Are we letting ourselves rot away by not doing what God has asked us to go ahead and do? If we're not serving Him, who are we serving? And are we allowing the enemy to get a foothold within our souls because we haven't done what God has asked us to do? We're on the wrong direction if we're laying back and being silent, the silent majority God asks us to go ahead and do. That's something to think about. Are we letting ourselves become rotten because of what we have failed to do?
Wow. Wow. You know, Pastor Ken, as you're talking right now, what I'm doing for the body of Christ, for anybody interested that's out there, I am uploading to our website on Omega Radio the word that I read today. And so if anybody is interested and you want to go and you want to reread and you want to take some time to go over that word, it's now uploaded on the Omega Radio site. It's also on our New Wine Ministry website as well. So I'm uploading this message because I believe it's important. I mean, it's stirring conversation within you and I, which is very important. and it should stir conversation in the body of Christ. And so it is uploaded right now on Omega Radio. It is uploaded right now. Also, I'm putting it right now on our, New Wine Ministry website. And Pastor Ken, go ahead and speak into that just a little bit further.
Well, it's really something that we have to realize. I mean, I can't help but think of it as that by what we fail to do, we set ourselves up. And that's what's happening. I think that procrastination is one of the greatest employments of the enemy, of satanic forces, because we see all these things happening around us, but we don't do anything. And that allows it to happen. Literally, that begins to condone it. Because of our lack to do what we need to go ahead and do is not being done. We need more people out there turning to the Lord, more people filling the churches, more people getting out evangelizing, more people being bold enough to speak the word. We need more bold congressmen, senators who will speak forth the word of God and do what God has to say. This nation prospered tremendously under the word of God, under the rule of law of Jesus Christ. And that is a fact. And we can see that. We can track that all the way through. And we can track it, the downfall of this country when that stopped. It just fits in perfectly, and anybody can go back and look at that and see it. So if we're not doing anything to further the development of this country, to develop that's a secondary thing, but to develop the purposes and ordinances that God wants done, the works that he wants done in this country, in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits, we're not following him. We are not honoring him at all, but rather we're allowing the negative to begin to happen. So the change to occur. It has to occur in each and every one of us, and it has to begin with me, and it has to begin with you, and I say that to the general populace. You know, don't rely on some other person to do it. We need to do it ourselves.
Okay, so that is a perfect segue into the next few minutes to this word that I'm going to share here right now. It's a perfect segue because I think a lot of Christians are probably looking or listening to, you know, wherever they are in the world today, wondering, what is my purpose? You know, what is my plan? What is God doing in me? You know, where is my assignment? What am I supposed to be doing with my life right now? And I believe this word that I'm about to share right now, which was written many years ago called David is Dancing, will actually give people some direction to understand that God is building this house, okay? So this is a prophetic word called David is Dancing, and it is directional for the people that are tuned in right now. So see if you find yourself in this prophetic word. I saw David dancing before the Lord. The Spirit spoke to my heart and showed me why David is dancing. He said, the tabernacle is almost finished and about to be brought into its rightful place. The nations of the earth are trembling at the sight of this finished work and have done everything in their power to resist and thwart its progress, but to no avail. For the saints of God are coming to power all over the earth in a demonstration of glory and power that will change the face of the earth forever. Oh, dear ones, don't you yet realize what God is doing in the earth? Have you not heard? The Lord God Almighty has given judgment to his saints so that they might execute the judgment that has been written 2,000 years ago. Have you not known? Have you not understood that God has called a people out of the world unto himself? Have you not seen the separation take place? Awake, O saints of God, and see your destiny before you. Yes, the tabernacle of David is near to completion, and it is written in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8, quote, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. We are a new covenant people who have come to Mount Zion. We are the new Jerusalem. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are the glorious bride without spot and wrinkle. Do you hear it? Can you see it? This is not about America, which only is a man's name, but about a people from all over the world that no longer have the marks of the world upon them or within them. that are coming to the full stature of the firstborn son. Can you hear it? Do you see it? All over the world, the finishing touches are being put upon the house, and the capstone is coming, and the people are shouting to it, saying, "Grace, grace." Who is that capstone? It is Jesus Christ coming to finalize the body of his love. We are his body, the flesh of his flesh and the bone of his bone. This is why David is dancing, for he sees the militant, triumphant church coming together as one new man in the earth. It is near, beloved, and the joy of the Lord is being unleashed like never before, crushing all dominions of fear and depression. The power of the kingdom of God is coming through this glorious church to undo all the works of the devil in the earth. Can you see it? Do you hear it? Oh, beloved, you have fought against the will of God. But just as Peter said to the scribes of his day that they did it ignorantly, so it is today. Many have fought against the truth of God's will because of the distractions of the flesh. But now, oh, dear ones, you can arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord will rise within you. Oh, come out of the disturbance of your soul. Walk into the light of this day and begin to dance, even as David is dancing. Many have been separated for a time so that they would be made white and pure in their hearts, but they too must come back to their place and function within this body. Watch as they come, for they shall surely come, and the powers of darkness that have controlled them and have blinded them shall be slain by the power of light that is dawning around the world, and the captives shall be released and set free and come forth like the calf skipping forth out of the stalls. Oh, saints of God, simply give up the fight for America or any other nation and take part in the uprising of the holy nation. For we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Come and take your place in the universal body of Christ. No longer look to the meager and simple things of this world, but see the work of the Spirit in the church of the living God. Some will need to purchase gold tried in the fire and have their eyes anointed with eye salve. But whatever the cost, it is well worth it. We are here, saints. We have come to the place of finalization. All things will now be quickened, for David is dancing. And then the last part of this was a vision. I saw people of every tribe, tongue, and nation controlling the earth. They were Asians and Africans and Europeans and the like. They were rejoicing in spirit and were come out of the world, much like you would take the inner parts of a piece of fruit from the outer skin. They were separated and in their spiritual bodies. There was no more pain or misery within them. All corruption and defilement was gone. I could see their faces plainly, but they were like ghosts. There was no weight upon them. They were totally unfettered from the old man and were now receiving their rewards. This was a glorious vision. All these people were ruling the earth. Glory, hallelujah to the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne forever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that it's not about America. It's not about the nations of the earth. It is time for the saints of God, the holy men and women of God, to recognize that in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are called a holy nation, and we are made up of people from all over the world. It is time for the ecclesia to come together. It is time for a manifestation of the glory of God to come through a many-membered body, a royal priesthood that is ministering to the things of God in our generation. It is not about names of nations. It is about the kingdom of God. Get your sights above. Stop thinking earthly minded. Do not be horizontal in your thinking. Be vertical in your approach to what's going on today. It is not about making America great again. It's about making the kingdom of God great again. It is about making Jesus in the earth great again, because he was once great within our nation, but he's not so great anymore to the eyes of many that live in this nation. Church is going to make the Lord great again. Someone shout hallelujah. Do you believe it? Pastor Ken, I'm going to give you the last word before we go, because Patricia Joy is on her way with a word from the throne of heaven.
Pastor, that's a good word again. And the thing that struck me the most on the last thing that you said, that we need to achieve the full stature of the firstborn son, like Jesus. I really believe that people would really accept that, receive it, activate it, that we would see new Moseses, new Josephs, Joshua's rather, new Isaiahs, new Jeremiahs, new apostles. These things would all begin to be birthed within our spirits. And you got to remember the last thing, like one of the things that Christ said as well, he says that you will do even greater things than I have done through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't see that happening. We need to begin to go ahead and move the way God wants us to move, to be who we're supposed to be, and accept all that he has for us and begin to do it.
Amen. Pastor Ken Wagner, what a great exhortation. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave you with this, that when you want to live like an Egyptian empire, then expect the plagues of Egypt to come upon you. You want to live like the Babylonians, then expect the judgment upon Babylon. You want to live like the Assyrians, and you're going to see the judgments. You want to live like Sodom and Gomorrah, then expect the fire to come from heaven. Stop thinking about linear things. Stop thinking about these simple little earthly things. Something greater is in view, and you're connected to it because you're a member of that body of Christ. You're the bone of his bone. I would start dancing if I were you. We're going to go to a quick little break. When we come back, Patricia Joy Xavier is going to be right here on the Omega Radio Network. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hello. God bless you this morning. Oh, what an incredible, encouraging word in one way, but a definite word to get our lives right. This is the excellent manner of the Lord, because he is raising up a body that is victorious, overcoming the things that have kept them in bondage all their lives. And it's time for that body to rise up and be victorious. And Pastor Vincent and those calling in are encouraging you to do that very thing. And it is my heart to help you become totally and completely delivered from anything that would keep you from rising up in that position. Oh, what a wonderful word Passover is. Please come to the Passover. And let me tell you why it's so important. Passover is passing from evil to good. Passover is passing from Egypt to the promised land. Passover is bringing life to the people that called upon the name of the Lord. And he gave opportunity for his people, when they were in bondage to Egypt, to become set free and to walk into the promised land. He gave his life on the cross at Passover. It was at Passover that the people of God that cared about the truth became free. Passover, from death into life for the whole world to come into a newness of understanding where life would prevail and death would be destroyed. And you see, this is the promise of the Father for those who have understood his calling. And in that calling, you have been chosen for a time such as this, or you would not be here today, even listening to this program. And I am grateful for you to do so, and I'm grateful for myself to be involved. Jesus dealt with the demonic realm a great deal in the Gospels, primarily in the context of casting them out. That is going from death to life. He trained the disciples to do it also, and said that driving out demons was one of the signs to follow believers. Don't believe me? Mark 17:17. Look it up. He gave this mandate to the believers. Paul teaches that there is a spiritual gift of discernment available to believers so that we would know what the demonic realm is doing in conjunction with submitting to God. We are also exhorted to resist demons so they will flee. Body of Christ, people, all who are listening all over the world, God has called you to be free, not in bondage to anybody or anything except His Holy Spirit that would lead you only to goodness and righteousness and everything wonderful. Problem is that the enemy wants to come against you to destroy that very thing. Those of you that are in third world countries are already experiencing such a terrible demonic presence as it is binding and killing and casting out many wonderful things that have been directed by God to be set free. Christ has come to set us free. And as we discussed the last time, when we were going through the process of deliverance, we asked the afflicted person about his relationship with his parents. In the process of deliverance, this is imperative because the bondage comes from the parent, the seed of the parent. And then if the parent has things within their life that they have not dealt with and have not consistently called upon the name of the Lord to help them be delivered from their sinful ways and believing the work of salvation, the child is coming under not only the generational bloodline curse that came from that seed in the DNA, but also that which has not been delivered in the parent's life. Some have called upon the Lord, and that would be of some help. But most of the time we'll find out that they have never been able to overcome certain bondage in their life, and it's passed on to the children. And those who have never even found Christ in their life, even if they raise their children up to be respectful, they are still carrying the seed of the generational bloodline curse. Well, it will affect that child sooner or later. So after you have taken these necessary steps to bring someone through deliverance by starting with the parents, we go through the severing spiritual connections, which are called soul ties, from any that one has been involved with through uncleanness or through any means of learning things incorrectly by another that they recall, that they were under instruction and considering taking in lies of any kind through other individuals. All these things are dealt with, brought to freedom to the individual that has been in this dilemma. And then we have learned that after you have taken the necessary steps of deliverance, it will easily happen where the Holy Spirit will come in and have you come into a new kind of freedom you never believed was possible for your life. Now, some people don't need deliverance. But if you have done this, if you have found yourself oppressed and depressed with wounds so deep and pain so fierce that your spiritual life is crippled, and you read the Bible, you prayed, you sought counsel, But it was seemingly without relief. If you feel that you fight a spiritual battle with little or no success, something may have invaded you, putting you into a state of confusion, and the problem may be beyond any psychology, but into spiritual warfare. The devil has no legal rights to you if you're a Christian, but it is up to you to defend your rights for which Christ has already paid. So if you find yourself in that position, then you need deliverance. You must always, always understand that the Holy Spirit is there to help, to set you free. It is His work and desire to do so. Now, as explained in previous chapters, we have all been rejected at some point in our lives, and some of us to greater degrees than others, depending on the experiences we have had with our parents, even from the womb to this present time. And I mention the womb because you may not have been wanted in the womb, but you may have been wanted after birth when your parents saw how cute you were. But you find this happening, and seriously, quite often, a very young woman or an older woman has many deep fears about pregnancy and childbirth and have questions about rearing the child. And they keep it to themselves. They don't ask others or gain any kind of wisdom regarding it. They don't want to because they feel foolish even asking questions during the pregnancy. But often the mother becomes pregnant sometimes out of wedlock, and these days, a lot, and it brings shame and guilt upon herself, and it brings bondage to the child. And I hate to use these words, but in scripture, the child is called a bastard. And this is happening often in these days because the depths of hell is growing furiously in its potential. And these experiences happen because of an unredeemed life. That's why we so diligently work to present the wonderful gift God has given, who has redeemed us from the curse on the cross. And we want to make it clear that you could walk circumspectively free. It is not necessary for mankind to experience these terrible afflictions. It wasn't God's will. And they come because of our rebellion against God and His Son, who paid this incredible price to set us free. And then we can find during deliverance that in other situations, the parents' priority was to accumulate wealth. And the child was unwanted because she or he was an inconvenience and was conceived before the desired time. And in this day and age, corporate life, getting first financially adequate is more important before having a child. And it became the concepts and the ideas of the time. And so the parents are becoming older and older, and by the time the child is born, the energy level is less than what it was when they were younger to have the child. And instead of believing that God will take care of for themselves and this precious child coming into the earth, they want to establish their home, their house, and it sounds logical, but it isn't the way of the Lord. Young people that are being engaged for marriage or have just recently married, have faith that God will take care of you. If He decides a child should come through you at a certain time, it is His business if you have faith to rely on Him in all things, not your business to make that decision. Either you have surrendered your life to Him or you have not. And the web of selfish ambition entraps the parents. The child is birthed in conflict, and the struggle is felt by the unborn child, even in the womb. Thus, the spirit of rejection, and rejection is a horrible spirit, does great damage, as was spoken of a couple of days ago, before the weekend when I went through the stage of deliverance. And to the degree that the parents have known and served the Lord will be the same degree, lesser or greater, to which the victim or the child feels rejected. Unless there was guidance, true spirituality, and love, you will find a strong spirit of rejection within the victim. Deliverance will be needed. If they have been in church for long periods of time, and yet they battle with this spirit, and I have seen it often in the church, and I can tell by the way they are living their life whether or not they are still in bondage to rejection. They try desperately, but they don't even know what the problem is. They know they get hurt. They know they're in pain, but they don't understand that rejection has been their problem from the time they've been a baby in the womb or later in life in some manner or some way that has crippled them emotionally. Christ came to set you free. And as a deliverer in this ministry, when you detect this spirit, you will always find the spirit of rebellion as well. Why? Rebellion, being the original sin of Adam, is at work. When a victim has felt rejection because of their rebellious parents, they will also encounter the spirit of fear, resulting in timidity. It is important to note here that the parents have not truly surrendered their lives to Christ. They have made themselves their own gods. And in this day and age, I see it over and over and over again like a broken record. These demonic spirits are passed from generation to generation until the victim has an encounter with the cross themselves and receives the Holy Spirit. And if then they still are having difficulty, deliverance is available for them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We must rejoice in this. This is such a gift from God. And yet it hasn't been understood in the church the way it should be. And then, and only then, can this curse be broken with the knowledge that they can be delivered by the power of God. He has the power to deliver you and I totally, not somewhat. Oh, but I'll always have problems, even to my death. Yes, but you will know how to overcome them with ease, without even concerning yourself any longer. You will see, by the walk in which you have been walking in deliverance, and by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him, you will see the ease of your walk, and you will be amazed. And I dare say that in this day, you know that there are many things being brought forth to our understanding that would cause us to be afraid, cause us to be fearful. But Christ has overcome that also. And He has given us not a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The fear of rejection will also bring a nest of other unholy spirits. And you'll find yourself in positions of being hurt, angry, and even hate. Look at that spirit of rejection. It does a great deal of damage in a person's life. And it could be a lifelong situation if they don't get a hold of the truth. And in some cases, they may not be noticeable. But in more extreme cases, they will be obvious. It may be yourself. It may be your spouse. It may be your children. Maybe in your parents. Maybe in your family members. You can be aware that these things are being captivated, or the people are being captivated by demonic presence because you've seen it so long in your life, and they don't seem to ever get free. The spirit of hurt will have taken residence either because of the devastating experience of rejection or because one or both parents prefer one child over another. Has that happened to you? Or has it happened to your sister, your brother? Oh, I tell you, body of Christ, people suffer in this world. It happens to each and every family one way or another. Things that I have mentioned. And they, even as Christians, continue to walk in bondage emotionally without understanding what their problem is. And they may have tried many methods to get out of that situation. Alcoholism, drugs. They may have gone to counseling, and they may have gone to a psychologist. But regardless, they find themselves still in the same way. After a period of time, it comes back. What's wrong? What is the problem? Ultimately, the spirit of rejection will open the door to self-hate with the subsequent hate of others. And again, you cannot be saved if you hate others. The Lord says it clearly in Mark 11. He tells us clearly that we must forgive others their trespasses against us, lest we are not forgiven. We must forgive others, lest we are not forgiven. It is so clear in a number of scriptures that this is the call of God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, our soul, and our mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. We cannot love ourselves if we have not forgiven others, and we cannot love God if we have not forgiven others. God offers deliverance, and the Holy Spirit enlightens Christians of their rights, but not all believers understand those rights. That is why I'm on the air, to bring it to you that you may understand your rights, deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And so often, people don't know they are really victorious. They have no idea that everything has been done for them on the cross. If they would believe and understand the scriptures, they walk victoriously. It's been granted. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, the book I wrote, will inform you of your rights as a believer and learn how to exercise and fight for your rights. Not in the courthouses of this world, but in the courthouse of heaven. Fight for your rights. Know who you are in Jesus. Begin to understand the victory that has been granted to you. Become the overcomer God called you to be. Don't wallow in self-pity anymore. No more need for angry, demonic, what? Just speaking out things that are not correct and right out of your mouth. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And heart and soul is synonymous. And if you have deep-rooted problems within your soul realm, bound by evil spirits, your heart will not speak good things. And you will come out with things from your mouth that'll not only hurt others, but hurt yourself. And then you'll find that the spirit of pride will always be prevalent in these cases, because when you're dealing with deliverance, the people feel the need to protect themselves. And I am sure you have found yourself in that position one time or another, to protect self. Only spirit brings in the other of the Holy Spirit of God, if you will understand the necessity of deliverance, either from your own understanding or being a deliverer to help others be set free. In this work, demon spirits bring in other spirits, and this is very destructive to the person's soul. We know that pride is the very sin that caused Satan himself to fall. And when you have the spirit of pride, and many of us do, many of you do, you have the evil one himself operating in your life. And we must check this. We must look into our hearts to see whether or not we have that spirit in control of our very soul. Again, Christ said, came to set you free from demonic presence. But pride is a biggie, and most individuals have not learned humility. They walk in pride. And in this day and age, pride is huge. Everybody is a god in their own eyes. But there are some who have caught on to the truth and realized that the only one that is truly God is God himself, and that we are filled with blessings and honor to even know him. Even to be called by him is the greatest honor any human being can possibly have. Because if you don't hear that calling, you are in pride. And pride will destroy you, because it is Satan himself that operates in this evil and loves it, and loves to bring in bondage as many as he possibly can. And he's at work with it right now in this world, in many different nations of the world, and in the United States of America, in government. And we must search our own hearts, and we must make sure that this demonic presence has not captured us. And if it has, it could be overcome by the blood of the Lamb through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and cast that spirit out in Jesus Christ's name, in Yeshua HaMashiach, in the Hebrew word. And what happens when pride is still within us? When we have that spirit, what happens is we stay under that bondage of rejection and rebellion. And pride is a ruling spirit. And it will bring with it lesser spirits, such as fear and hurt, under their command. It will be under the command of pride. And the Trinity is found quite often. And it is up to you to take authority over the ruler spirits as a deliverer. These higher powers are talked about in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Once these spirits are bound in the name of Jesus, those that remain will come out quite easily, although not always in that particular order. I am Patricia Xavier, and I am pastoring along with Pastor Vincent Xavier at New Wine Ministry. And Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, can be found on Amazon if you desire to order it. God bless you. May the Lord show you his perfect way. In Jesus' name.